There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Sound off with me, folks, on all of us reliving a nightmare. What is it with these damn Heat players catching fire from three-point range every time they play the Celtics in the playoffs? They did it last postseason in the Eastern Conference Finals. They did it again tonight in Game 2 to grab the 111-101 win and to steal home court advantage. As bad as it was last year, when it felt like everything that left these guys' fingers from three-point range went in, tonight was somehow even worse. These guys on Miami just set a new franchise record for the most three-pointers ever made in a playoff game for the Miami Heat with 23 made threes tonight. Those 23 made three-pointers are tied for the third most ever made in a playoff game in NBA history by any team. I will repeat that again. Miami's 23 made three-pointers in Game 2 is now tied for the third most made three-pointers ever in an NBA playoff game. It's pure insanity. How does this happen so consistently? Thank God it didn't happen in Game 1. It certainly happened in Game 2. And now the Celtics got to figure out a way to prevent it from happening in Game 3. But listen, you got to tip your cap. These guys made shots. Tyler Hero made 6. Our old friend who, God, the nightmares are strong of him, Caleb Martin. Oh, he was shooting line drives in Game 1, bruising the rim with a shot, and then in Game 2 finds his arc and makes 5 of 6 from deep. Jaime Jaquez Jr. makes 3. Haywood Highsmith makes 3. It was all around. Everyone was getting into the party. Duncan Robinson added in a couple. I mean, this was the entire team, except for one guy, Bam Adebayo, because he doesn't take three-pointers. And while everyone else was drilling threes, he was being awesome inside the paint. He was just great tonight. Defensively, his shot was right on. Fadeaways all over the court, no matter how great the defense was. Bam played great tonight. And so did the Heat. You got to tip your cap. But somehow, despite all of that, the Celtics still somehow had a chance to win this game. I kept looking up at the scoreboard throughout this game being like, how are the Celtics not down by 20? How are they not down by 30? This is ridiculous, the way that Miami is shooting this basketball from long range. And the Celtics are, I mean, they were winning at halftime. I think I tweeted out, I can't remember how many Well, let's look it up. How many three-pointers did the Miami Heat make during the first half of tonight's game? 13. 13 of 24. 54.2% from three-point range. And they were losing by three. In my head, I'm like, how is this even happening? How the hell do the Celtics have a lead at halftime when Miami just did that? And I kept feeling a similar way during the second half. How are the Celtics only down by five? How are they only down by four, six? How are they still in this game? And the answer is Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, and then for a very brief stretch, Derek White. Those guys gave the Celtics a fighting chance, which honestly is a miracle in and of itself that the Celtics had a chance to win this game while Miami shot 23 of 43 for a 53.5% clip from long range. You look at this box score and you black out the three-point category. You are walking away from that and thinking the Boston Celtics absolutely won this game. Celtics won in turnovers, points in the paint, free throws made, block shots. They had the two leading scorers in the game. They literally won basically every other category except the three-point line. And this will go back to tell you just how important and why Joe Mazzulla has emphasized the three-point line all season long. Some reporters have given him flack. Some fans have given him flack. But this is why. If you can attempt many more three-pointers, which the Heat did tonight, they outshot the Celtics by 11 three. They took 11 more three-pointers than the Celtics. We'll phrase it the most simplest way possible. They took 11 more, and they made 11 more. If you can do that, it's almost impossible to beat a team that doesn't turn the ball over at a high rate, which the Celtics don't. So this is why, this is the exact evidence of why Joe Mazzulla has emphasized the three-point line this season and shot margin. The Celtics won the shot margin tonight by five, but they lost the three-point shot margin by 11. This is a flip from the last game. The Celtics won the shot margin by one, and I think they won the three-point shot margin by 12 or something like that. So the Celtics clearly were taken out of their game a little bit tonight by Miami's defense, and now they've got to figure out a way going back into game three of how to get that three-point line back and how to limit that three-point line for Miami. And we're going to talk a little bit more about this in the remainder of the episode. But again, you look at the box score and you block out that category of three-point line attempts and makes. You look at everything else and you think, Boston won this game. But they didn't, because Miami never had a cold stretch in this game. They never went cold for 3, 4, 5 minutes, allowing the Celtics to go on a run. The Celtics just couldn't string together multiple stops. And so yet again, another seemingly miracle win for Miami with this ridiculous three-point shooting. Miami was 12th in the NBA this season in three-point shooting from a percentage perspective. Middle of the pack. And tonight, they were one of the best ever in NBA history. I'm shaking my head. I'm rubbing my forehead. How does this happen? We're going to talk about it. It's frustrating. I know. Think how frustrating it is for the actual Celtics watching this happen again. But the good news is, again, it's only one game. The Celtics took game one. This is not last year's Eastern Conference Finals. The Celtics took game one, and now all they got to do is win one down in Miami to get that home court advantage back. So now they go down to that annoying arena down on South Beach, looking to do just that, trying to steal at least one game down there to get home court back and maybe steal them both and come back with a chance to close out this series in game five next week. All right, let's take a few comments from our fans. First up, we got Florida Man on some lazy defense from the Celtics. Then we got the Kid Christ, interesting name, on Miami's chances of doing what they did tonight again in this series. And then lastly, we got Wicked Smart on what happened tonight with Kristaps Porzingis, who finished tonight's game with only 6 points and only 8 rebounds in about 30 minutes of action. So let's dive right in to our first comment from Florida Man. All right, Florida Man coming in with a little bit of criticism for the defense here. He says, they walk around like they won something and were lazy on defense. I hope Joe calls them out for being weak. Florida Man, I can agree with some of this, but I've got to also disagree with some of this. I don't think you can call the Celtics weak. They won 64 games this season. It's not like they faded away and got blown out in this game and didn't give any effort. They played pretty hard, tried to win this game. I wouldn't call them weak. Now, what I can agree with is that there were definitely some lazy moments on defense. And it's not a criticism. It's calling out actually what happened. I went back and I looked at all 23 makes from three-point range by Miami. And what I wrote down is how they were contested. Were they open? Were they contested or were they highly contested? My numbers are not the same as what you'll find on NBA.com or what the Celtics will chart. Everyone has their individual ways. But me looking at that, I thought they made 13 threes on open makes. I charted 5 of them as contested and 4 of them as highly contested. So 13 of those 23 makes felt like open shots. That's a lot. And when you go back and watch some of these, there were actually defenders, and Jrue Holiday was there on a couple of them where he's standing there and just didn't put his hand up to contest the shot. And I'm going to say that there is a reason for this. It's not like Jrue Holiday doesn't give effort. He always gives effort. I think what the Celtics were a little bit concerned about in this game, maybe even more concerned about than the three-point shooting, was these guys taking the ball off the dribble. Joe Mazzulla talked about this after the game, that you got to pick and choose, right? A lot of these guys who make threes are also guys who are very good at attacking a defense by taking the ball off the dribble. Tyler Hero, great. 14 assists tonight. He knows how to navigate a defense, take the ball off the dribble, and put pressure on the defense. Caleb Martin didn't only make three-pointers tonight. He also took it to the basket for a couple of makes. He can drive to the basket. Haywood Highsmith can drive to the basket. So these, you get what I'm saying here, is that these guys are not just three-point shooters. You got to pick and choose what you're doing. And I think the Celtics heading into this game, based off of what they've seen from the Miami Heat all season long, again, middle-of-the-pack three-point shooting team, I think the Celtics chose going into this game to favor these players taking the ball off the dribble. Make sure they don't get to do that and live with what happens beyond the three-point arc. And tonight, they had to live with it, and it was not a great result. So I think some of these times when someone like Jrue Holiday or Kristaps Porzingis didn't necessarily stick their hand up and close out hard, I think the reason is because they had it in their mind. They don't want those guys to then be able to take the ball off the dribble when they do close out hard. But the Celtics will have all of this film to be able to look at. They're going to look at what I just looked at, and they're going to see, they're going to chart it their way, and they're going to figure out if they need to change anything going into game three. And they will. Joe Mazzulla will tell these guys straight up what happened in this game when they watch the film tomorrow. I guarantee you that. He holds players accountable. He does not care what your history is or what your name cachet is. He is willing to call out 1 through 15 on this roster, and he will do it if he feels he needs to. So when they watch film tomorrow, he's going to tell them how it is, how it was during this game too. And then he's going to tell them how it needs to be in game three. So these Celtics are not weak, Florida Man. I'm not going to take that. You can't call these guys weak. It's the best team in the NBA. They just happened to lose one game by 10 points when the other team was absurdly hot from three-point range. It's not like this team just quit. They are not weak. That's not okay to call them that. But you do have a point in being able to say that there were some possessions where they looked a little bit lazy on defense. And here's to saying and hoping that that's going to be different during game three down in Miami. All right.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Next up, we got the Kid Christ saying, Miami isn't doing this another game, period. Guaranteeing that with an exclamation point. And I got some evidence to back up what the Kid Christ is saying, folks. This is just the third time in 84 games this season that the Miami Heat, again, middle of the pack three-point shooting team this season, has made at least 20 three-pointers. They made 20 against Cleveland back on November 22nd. They made 21 back on March 29th against Portland. And then tonight, they make 23 against the Boston Celtics in Game 2 of the Eastern Conference first-round playoffs. So this is the third time out of 84 games that they have made at least 20 three-pointers. Do you know what the percentage is of that 3 out of 84? That is 3.5% of the time that they take the court, they reach 20 three-pointers. So the Kid Christ has a point here that the odds are saying there's a 96.5% chance that they do not do this again. Now let's look at a percentage perspective. Tonight was just the fifth time out of 84 games that this Miami Heat team has shot at least 50% from three-point range. Would you like me to do some more math for you? Five times in 84 games is less than 6% of the time. So the moral of the story here is that the Miami Heat are capable of doing this, but they don't do it consistently, and they do it extremely rarely. It barely ever happens. Now we, as Celtics faithful, have a little bit of a jaded view of this because we remember what happened last season. But not only is every game its own entity, but every team is its own entity. And this Miami team is not Miami's team from last season. This Miami team is not last year's Miami team. So let's go off of the numbers here that I just said. 5 out of 84 times, they have shot 50% or more from three-point range. 3 out of 84 times, they have made at least 23-pointers. So my money is where the Kid Christ's money is in saying that Miami ain't doing this again. It's not happening. As he said, period, guaranteeing that. That's a fact. I'm putting it down. It's not happening again in this series. Now, does that mean that Miami won't win another game in this series? Absolutely not. I'm not saying that. But I don't think that they're going to shoot lights out like this again. And that's simply because I'm following the numbers. The numbers tell me, and Brad Stevens always used to say this, water finds its level. It didn't find its level last year against last season's Miami team. I expect water to find its level this year against this Miami team. Tonight was a rarity, and I don't expect it to happen again. All right, Wicked Smot coming in with our last comment of the night says, KP is our zone breaker. Spo got his team to adjust and sent his wings at KP and disrupted every pass into him or made him uncomfortable the second he got the ball. And we had zero adjustments for it. Kept forcing it, kept turning it over, and they wouldn't miss. Props to Spo. You've always got to give props to Spo. Eric Spoelstra is one of the greatest coaches that we have ever seen in this game. It's the only way that he has lasted this long with the Miami Heat through all sorts of different teams. He is great. He's not good. He is great. He is one of the greatest ever. And when you talk about the Celtics facing one team in the playoffs versus maybe facing another, you never want to face the Heat specifically because of Eric Spoelstra. Now, he certainly put forth a plan for what Miami wanted to do against Kristaps Porzingis tonight. It worked. There's no question about that. But I do think that some of this was self-inflicted by the Celtics and Kristaps Porzingis in particular. I think there were some opportunities tonight when he was trying to seal his defender and post up. And to your point, on a bunch of those entry passes, Wicked Smot, where the ball got poked away, turned into a turnover. Like, Porzingis needs to be more physical in sealing his defender off. I understand that wings are more pesky. They're quicker with their hands and their feet. But Kristaps Porzingis is 7'2" with a very wide wingspan. He should be able to not only seal his defender off, but also create a window with his wingspan that his teammates can pass to without passing into a danger zone. This was probably Kristaps Porzingis' worst game as a Celtic. Obviously, he's only been here for this season, but he's been great. He has been great. He has surpassed expectations in pretty much every single category that you could want, and that includes in the locker room and off the court. He's been awesome this season. He's also extremely talented and extremely competitive, and he wants nothing more than to help this team win a championship. So tonight's 1-for-9 performance with a couple of turnovers and probably another 3 or 4 that were turnovers that went to teammates, but he played a role in it. I don't think this is happening again. I think Porzingis is going to adjust. I think the Celtics and Joe Mazzulla are going to adjust. And they're going to learn from what happened in this game to get him back on track in game 3. Because the Celtics need him on track. He is, as Wicked Smot said, he's the zone breaker. Miami didn't play a ton of zone tonight. They were switching defensively much more tonight than they did during game 1. You can only expect that that's going to happen again during game 3, likely with some zone mixed in because Spo always likes to throw some curveballs. But I do think the Celtics will learn. I don't think this is stuff that cannot be corrected. I think this is simply paying attention to the details and playing physical basketball. I don't think that these post-up attempts were physical. So I think if the Celtics pay attention to the details, play physical with those post-ups. I think Kristaps Porzingis is going to be just fine, just like he has been all season long. Like I just said, water finds its level. I think it's going to do that with Miami's three-point shooting, and I think it's going to do that with what Kristaps Porzingis has always brought to the table this season, with the exception of this one rough game in Game 2. So as we've said throughout this episode, Miami has officially stolen home court advantage. Now this series shifts down to Miami, to that annoying arena down on South Beach. Game 3 is Saturday night at 6 o'clock on TNT. And you can also catch the game locally on NBC Sports Boston. The Celtics are scheduled to practice on Thursday. Keep it locked on all of our social channels for the latest updates from that practice. And then the team is flying down to Miami on Friday for that 6 o'clock matchup with the Heat in Game 3 Saturday night. Until then, I appreciate you sounding off with me, and I will see you Saturday night.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves, so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.